What you are about to hear is the story of a connection that was made between a television series and a viewer's life. Our television set sits in the corner of our living room, befriending us, educating us, inspiring us, making us laugh or cry or tear our hair out in frustration. It is a far more constant companion than most of the friends we will ever make, or even our family. The You and Who books are the story of that companionship, that connection, as told by the people who watch the programmes that make us come alive, chiefly, of course, Doctor Who. This podcast will relate some of those stories. You're listening to You and Who Talking, and I'm J.R. Southall, the creator and chief editor of the series.
G'day, I'm Rob.
And hi, I'm JR.
And you're listening to You and Who Talking, where this week we're going to hear from Martha Oster talking about a program I've never actually seen, JR, called Moondial.
Do you know, I've not seen it myself, but I was, I've not watched it, but I was aware when it was on, and I think I caught bits of episodes, maybe whole episodes of it. But it wasn't one of those things that really grabbed my attention. Although I think there are certain programs where for some people, and films and books and whatever, for some people, they'll be absolutely manna from heaven. And for other people, they'll just kind of slightly miss the beat.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but, you know, the way Martha talks about this show and, you know, when she talks about summer holidays that feel dreamy and endless and full of choice,
yeah.
It got me thinking back to when I was a kid and I thought, why don't my holidays feel like that anymore, JR?
Well, yeah. No, they never do when you're a grown-up, do they?
Exactly.
This is all about nostalgia for when you were a child and the impressions that life and television made on you when you were at, you know, that really impressionable age. And this is about identifying a time and a place and the people you were surrounded by and how something like a television program or a book or whatever can really sort of put a marker in a certain place in your life, and that program will forever be linked to that specific place and time and those particular people. This is the absolute meat and veg of what You and Who is all about, and Martha really catches it well.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, just as an aside, I'd be keen to know if other people have seen Moondial and what they thought of it. You know, if you could get us on social media or something and tell us, because it's just one that hadn't crossed my radar at all, you know, growing up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's actually something that we've never really asked people to do, but yeah, get in touch, and who knows. We record these intros a few at a time because they're so short, but somewhere down the line, if we start getting the odd Twitter message or Facebook message or whatever, we might read one or two out.
Yeah, that would be very cool.
Anyway, before then, here's Martha with a really lovely essay about childhood and sort of growing up and stuff.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Children like jelly and other lies that adults tell. Just west of the quaint historic town of Swindon is an area known as Lydiard Tregooze. In the late 1980s, my father was the vicar there, and we sometimes used Lydiard House and its grounds for church functions. After we moved away, I returned for a week each summer to stay with Aunt Joan, an old lady from the church, and my summer sister, Emma. Emma was a family friend, a few years older than me, who spent her summers with Joan. I had long been in competition with my brother over who got to hang out with Emma, so it gave me much pleasure when she invited me to join her. Aunt Joan lived on the edges of Lydiard Park, in a farmhouse seemingly unchanged since the premature death of her husband decades earlier. Joan served afternoon tea every day, with that lost art of ceremony, at a beautiful cloth table and in real teacups. We'd eat tiffin and stroke her sheepdog and try our best to be polite, to be seen and not heard. At night, we slept in a room at the top of the stairs and would giggle about Joan's false teeth in the bathroom next door. We'd study with curiosity the chair with a built-in commode at the end of Emma's bed and struggle with itchy blankets. It was in this tiny room that I found an older sister. Someone to teach me how to deal with boys, parents, hormones. We'd stay up late, talking, crying and laughing. In the long summer evenings, we'd wander into the grounds of the big house and sometimes have the whole place to ourselves. We'd terrify ourselves on the aerial slide at the adventure playground and giggle at any local boys who tried to talk to us. The grounds and the church had that eerie feeling of timelessness, or the crossing over of times, a happening place. We wandered among the ghosts of centuries of children who had played there. Those summers held a freedom for us that was unknown in our lives. Having no children of her own, Joan allowed us to wander in the same way that she may have done as a child. We would leave in the morning and return before dark. We'd watch cows being milked and have picnics in the grass. Joan didn't ask us where we'd been, and in a world without mobile phones, we could have been anywhere or done anything. It was an old-fashioned kind of freedom, but it was new to us. Without our safety-conscious parents, we were free to have our own adventures and to explore the world for ourselves. When Moondal first broadcast in 1988, I was still living in Swindon, and barely 9. Like Minty, I had too much hair, terrible dress sense, and a tendency towards the overdramatic. In an attempt to limit our television intake, my parents had a rule in those early years. Each of us could choose just one programme to watch a day. My brother, my sister and I would rush home from school and carefully pore over the radio times, circling the ones we had decided upon. Some days my canny older brother would attempt to bribe or cajole so that he could see two of his choices. There were 3 of us, my youngest sister being too young to join in, and we were BBC children all the way. Blue Peter, Grangehill, and other BBC dramas were the favourite. John Craven's Newsround was allowed for free. When it broadcast, Moondal was my choice every week. There was something deliciously eerie and unsettling about the show. My dad was a Doctor Who fan, so we were used to watching TV huddled behind the safety of a sofa cushion. But this was something else. It wasn't the kind of TV that would make you jump in fright, but the kind that left you with a feeling that there were strange and unpleasant things in the world that even your parents couldn't quite keep you safe from. I was a big reader as a child, and shortly after the series finished, I bought the Helen Creswell book, probably with a Christmas book token, and devoured it in one sitting. It was my first experience of how different a TV adaptation can be from the original story. I recently found that book at my parents' house and was thrilled to find a little slip of paper I had placed inside from when my sister and I decided to turn our bookcase into a lending library. Watching Moondal as an adult, it is clear that many things have changed since my childhood. Minty records tape cassettes to play to her mother on a Walkman. She hears the news of her mother's accident on an old corded telephone. There's no doubt we live in a different time now. In this time, newspapers lament the loss of childhood and shout about how our children are no longer innocent. In truth, though, there has never been anything innocent about being a child. Childhood is cruel, harsh, confusing. Children are mean, and adults, in the main, make things harder to understand. Moondal captures the things we all knew as children but seem to have forgotten. Adults lie. In Moondal, the adults are either evil, unavailable, or just plain stupid. The children, on the other hand, work hard to sort out problems for themselves and face this cruel world alone. Aunt Mary's comment that children like jellies so perfectly sums up how adults, probably deliberately, forget what it's like to be a child. How we all try to make it smaller, sweeter, more manageable. In trying to protect our children, we are lying to them, and they know it. In that little room in Joan's house, Emma and I shared stories of horrible, painful life experiences. We cried about mortality and illness with hatred and anger. Like Minty, facing the possibility of becoming an orphan, we dealt with these things on our own. The adults were too busy trying to keep us safe with distraction. Interestingly, in the book, only Mr. Benson is honest with Minty. Mr. Benson, like Aunt Joan, didn't have children. Maybe it is the terror of parenthood that makes us lie. There is still hope, though, in childhood. Those endless, dreamy summer evenings took on a special quality, something akin to moontime. Emma and I lived many miles apart, had very different lives, but in those summers, we found a place to share. Like Minty, Tom, and Sarah, we found in one another a kindred spirit. Perhaps moontime is what joins children together. We share the same pains and fears across geographical regions, across time, but we don't have to struggle through them on our own. We can find our own kind somewhere. The summer holidays that feel endless, dreamy, and full of choice are like echoes of other lives and adventures we might never have. They are also reminders to the adults around us that children have the frightening power of youth and potential, which is maybe why they lie. Moondal is a little piece of my childhood. I feel an ownership over it that goes deep to my bones. Perhaps it is the fact that Minty feels somehow out of place in time that chimes so well with the vicar's daughter in me, who moved so often and never quite felt settled. I moved to Crystal Palace not long ago. As I turned for the first time down a path in the park and found the old steps of the palace and the sphinxes, I got that moontime chill. The sense that this is a happening place. And I finally found my home. I hope one day that I will have children of my own. And I'll try to remember to be honest about the world. And to give them the freedom to explore that park. And to find their adventures on their own.
You've been listening to You and Who Talking, presented by Rob Irwin with J.R. Southall. The You and Who books, from which all royalties are paid to charity, are available in print and for Kindle from watchingbooks.weebly.com.